This is CliffCentral.com. Very nice. It's Nate Dogg and Warren G. And Regulate. Very, very nice. That's the way we want to feel in the morning. Love it to pieces. All right, a couple of things before we get into any news. Remember DJ Arch? Does anyone remember DJ Arch?
Yes.
Mavs, you remember DJ Arch, yeah? What do you remember?
He's that little cuteness that has been setting like all sorts of records as the youngest DJ to spin the decks.
That's right. He's a five-year-old. He's officially been inducted into the Guinness World Book of Records, becoming the world's youngest DJ at five. He was in here. He performed. Do you remember?
Jeez, what am I doing with my life?
Does he like mix legitimately, though?
Yeah. Oratilwe Hlongwane is his real name. He mixes legitimately. He performed a record-breaking one-hour-long set on June the 10th after his father Glenn managed to sneak him into the Platinum Lounge at Cosmo City.
Operative term being had to be sneaked.
DJ Arch's third attempt. His attempt was 2 years. First attempt was 2 years ago when the young boy wasn't able to concentrate long enough to complete an entire hour.
Oh, that is so cute.
His second attempt wasn't recognized by the Global World Records body because his set was performed at a stadium and not in a club or a bar. And he was crowned SA's Got Talent winner in 2015. You will remember Arch Jr. So, I've actually got his dad, Glenn, on the line now. Is he on Skype or on the phone? On the phone, all right. I hate this. I never know whether it's going to be on the phone.
It's so tricky.
I know. It's like a gambling thing. Hey, Glenn, how are you, man?
Hi, how are you? You're speaking to Philo. It's his mom.
All right. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and yourself?
Good, good. How did it go? How was the world record? And the Guinness people are happy. It's all legit. It's sorted out. It's in the book. This is officially the world record.
Yes, man. We're so excited. We're so proud of him. It's real. He is recognized as the world's youngest DJ now.
That's very, very cool. Now, how's he feeling?
I'm still so excited as his mom. And for him, you know, he just keeps making us so proud. I mean, breaking a world record is huge. And him doing it at this age, is so amazing. So we so proud of his parents.
So tell me quickly, how does it work from here on? Is there going to be a way for him to earn serious money from this? Are we planning anything that will help launch his career so that he can become commercially successful?
No. He just received the title as the world's youngest DJ. And from there on, we're just going to keep just measuring his talents, and he's been getting gigs, so we're going to just allow that. And and then from there on, he's a kid, we cannot plan ahead of what he wants to do, but for now we're just going to nurture his talents.
All right, well, thanks for the update. There we go. There's a little look at what's going to be happening to DJ Arch Jr. Very cool, huh? 5 years old. The world's youngest DJ.
It's cool that they're not trying to, like, make a circus act out of him.
He is five, still.
They aren't taking the whole Joe Jackson approach of things, so...
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had Joe Jackson.
Joe want to say something?
Oh, dear, please don't make me talk to that.
It's been a while. Maybe he loves you, though, my buddy. He loves you.
Ben, don't you want to...
I don't see him on the line anywhere.
Well, he's there. Well...
Sure. You managed to get him?
Joe always has to chime in.
Is he on line 17?
Always has to chime in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jackson.
How are you?
Well, we are fine. How are you?
I'm very good. I heard about this five-year-old. I would like to buy him from his parents. I will offer $25,000 right now. I'll put it down. I'll send it on escrow.
Mr. Jackson, we don't really... trade in humans.
Why not? I did it when I was a father, when my children was younger.
Yeah, times have changed a little bit since the 70s.
Let me tell you, Michael was an ordinary child, no special talent whatsoever. I took him and I molded him into the success he became, which is why I deserve the largest part and share of the Michael Jackson estate, PTY Limited.
But if Michael didn't have the voice, Joe, you wouldn't have had anything to nurture.
I gave him that voice. It came from me. Have you ever heard me sing Don't Stop Till You Get Enough?
No.
It's something else. I tell you what, you slide off your chair.
How's Blu-ray Records doing, Mr. Jackson?
Well, I'm sorry you had to bring that up because it's not going so well. You know record companies, they're hard to run these days.
This is true.
That's why I need some more of Michael's money.
So
I'm going to go over and ask a blanket this morning for a blank check.
Oh, no, Mr. Jackson. You know, Michael's kids are doing fairly well themselves. They're now earning their own money. You can't ask them for their money.
I am still their guardian. I am the one who is meant to look after their money.
So what would you do with the five-year-old DJ Arch, Mr. Jackson?
I would help turn him into a superstar. That's what I do. I have a new company. It's called Blu-ray Talent Agency. And I'm going to go and scout all over the world for young children whose parents don't know what they're doing. I want to help them to raise their children, make them a success. That's what I want to do.
But have you not learned anything from how messed up Michael...
Messed up?
Well, he turned out...
You didn't make $250 million?
He was a little bit messed up psychologically, though.
Best record sales of all time, brother.
Don't you want to let this five-year-old just be five?
Hell no. He must come here to my house. He's going to move bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. Then when they done all on one side of the yard, he's going to move them back to the other side of the yard. He's going to do that five times every day. And he'll learn the value of discipline. And then he's going to dance with his brothers.
Have you been in touch with your newest grandchild that Janet gave birth to a while ago?
Oh, Janet had a child?
Oh, Mr. Jackson.
This is awkward.
Oh, I did not... Let me get on the phone quickly. Is that with that billionaire?
Well, they're separated now.
Yeah, I gotta go. Bye-bye.
It didn't take him long to say goodbye.
Back to business he goes.
Yeah, imagine what he's going to do now. Joe. Hello, Janet. It's your daddy. I'm called to say I love you.
Oh. I'm sure then probably Joe was the only one who approved of the marriage with the billionaire.
All I can say is Glenn and the mom of DJ Arch, just do not let Joseph Jackson take your child. Even if he promises you huge riches and wealth.
Mm-mm. No.
I like here he wanted to ask Blanket for a check. That's who are the other two children? There's Paris.
And Prince Michael.
Right. Why don't we hear from Prince Michael? We see Paris, she's on awards shows and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We don't see Prince Michael. Is he a funny looking? Is there something wrong with him?
I think he's the youngest, so he's
no.
Still...
He's the oldest.
Prince at a point was like an Entertainment Tonight correspondent.
Oh,
aren't his kids strangely white though?
One is Latina, born
certifiably.
One is Latina, as I would say.
Yeah.
But you say that very coolly.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. What a strange looking... He's as white as... He's whiter than me.
No, Paris.
Nothing's whiter than you.
No, look at this child. This is Prince Michael Jackson, right?
Paris is by far the whitest.
Oh, she's whiter than Paris Hilton.
He's borderline ginger, actually.
I mean, Paris Hilton's so white, she sings that... Making my way through downtown.
Walking fast.
That's how white she is from White Girls. Okay, so Prince, he looks very white. And not at all like his father.
Mm-mm.
Surprise, surprise.
Although his father looked pretty white too, so maybe they do look...
Well, good.
And let's see Blanket Jackson.
He's the Latina.
Or at least as a child, he looked more...
Oh my God, he looks like Arya Stark.
With the long hair.
He actually does look
he really
exactly
does.
Like Arya Stark.
He's the one who supposedly lives on his own. Like he's just been...
Lives on his own, but he's about 10.
Forgotten by the family.
Because really?
Everyone is doing their own thing.
Kind of like Arya Stark.
Independent.
He does look like Arya Stark, everybody.
He
really
there
does.
He looks
every
like Arya
photo.
Stark after pies. But in the previous picture...
Jeez. That Paris is kind of hot.
Yeah,
though.
I was going to say, she's probably too young for me to think that, but she's really beautiful.
No, she's like of age.
She's a belter. Yo, she is a proper belter, actually. Oh.
No, she's fantastically hot.
Yeah.
Right. How old is she then?
Oh. Also, do you think that Prince Michael feels stifled by the fact that he can't ever become King Michael? I mean, surely when Dad died...
You should have become King. Well, no, because his father's King of Pop. And
yeah.
They don't award that down the line.
When you're the king of pop, it's not hereditary, you don't become, no. Oh, that's hardly fair.
But I will talk for a moment about something hereditary before we get into Mubs' news, because this is kind of interesting. Kulubuse Zuma might have run out of money.
Oh, shame.
I don't have the words, so I'll keep quiet.
They say that Kulubuse Zuma, in all likelihood, lied when he declared his assets to broker a settlement deal last year. You know, he owes for the Pamodzi mine and Aurora mine, and all those mine workers have never been paid. There are certain objective facts available to indicate that the respondent failed to make a full disclosure of his financial position. He was paying something like 500,000 rand a month for his debts.
Well, yeah, he's meant to be paying that.
Meant to be, but he did for a while and then he stopped. And they say that he is justifiably... Hang on, here it is. He's got a house in Mshlanga. He's got... he owes 1.5 million to FNB. He owns a 2010 Range Rover.
Mm. He owns that massive quad bike as well. We can't forget the quad bike.
Mountains of debt, including 1.6 million owed to his former public relations firm, Capital Mines, and 2.5 million owed to the legal firm, Strauss Daly. He owed Protea Coin 9.9 million rand. In his affidavit, Engelbrecht, that's the lawyer, submitted that Zuma was hopelessly insolvent. He had declared no income and no source of income. But then they are saying that there is that 1 billion rand deal with some Congo mine that he might own. But if Kulubus is broke, I mean, he'd be losing some weight.
Well, this is the true test. Is his real name really Clive Kulubuse Zuma?
Yeah.
Clive?
His first name is Clive.
Clive's not a popular name these days. You don't see a lot of women named Nora, and you don't see a lot of guys named Clive.
Ooh, like, Nora.
Some names just haven't stood the test of
ever
time.
Ever since the late great Clive Rice is gone. I mean, no one's...
The other name that really you don't see very much is Maud.
No, you do not see a lot of
Maud. There are not a lot of women called Maud.
Agnes.
I could never get over Margaret. Like, how do you look at a little cute baby and go,
little Margaret.
Margaret. It's such like an...
Also, Clive. I mean, I think people named Clive are born 45, bald, doing accountancy.
Just like Harold.
Smoking a cigar.
You have to... Look at him,
guys,
this beautiful boy.
I got bad news. Twitter have increased the number of characters to 280. They've doubled it from 140.
Why? Yes, yes, they have. Gosh. Well, look, they say that it's because the people kind of sort of wanted, because I don't know if you've noticed, but people have found ways to go around the whole 140 character limit.
Sometimes they screenshot paragraphs.
They screenshot paragraphs from their notes or like some other app. And so Twitter have basically come forward and said, okay, look, we acknowledge the fact that for some of you, it's obviously very difficult to try and get your point across in just 140 characters. So they're now saying that, okay, fine, we will extend it to 280 characters, which is double the character number.
Double the outrage.
Twitter really, they're on the verge of saying, hi, can we just be Facebook Lite? Like, their whole thing, their unique sales point was this amount of letters, make it snappy, make it quick. Now, it's like everything is visual.
But what do you
do? So who cares how many letters you've got? It's going to be a picture anyway.
But what do you do then when the people using your product seem to be wanting to use more than just 140 characters? Also, these Twitter threads, you know, like Twitter threads are such an in thing right now. Clearly, people are not able to get their points across in just 140 characters.
Yeah, but thing is, that's fine. But that's why there's a thread. So they'll still have succinct points as part of a big thread. If you give them more rope,
they'll just write bigger threads.
It's just like a thread and thread. Thread square.
It's too much.
But the fundamental difference, though, is that Twitter's still an open platform where people you don't know can follow and access you, whereas in Facebook you have that filter of friend requests, and it's like then becomes a closed community. But yeah, see, I used to love Twitter during the first couple of years of Twitter, but it's just become the cesspool of outrage, judgment, bandwagon jumping,
anger,
pitchfork wielding, anger, and fucking appalling grammar. Nothing worse than when someone pontificates illiterately.
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, there is something worse. They get double the amount of space to
pontificate,
to do
that. Yeah. Literally. That one.
Hey, you know, speaking of Facebook, I did get a bit of a thrill. 5 years ago on this day, I met my future wife, Sierra. You remember? And they brought up a picture of me with her.
Oh.
That I was pleased to see because I do miss her so.
Yeah, oh. I'm sure she misses you too, Shem.
How many kids has she
had? You guys are still going to get married?
She's had two kids. Yeah. None of them are mine?
Look,
we don't know, Gareth. Are any of them
yours?
When you
look at them, they look, you know, they have a darker hue, but they could be pulling a Michael Jackson situation.
In reverse.
It's the opposite of
in
Michael
reverse.
Jackson. Regressive
Absolutely.
Genes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just thought
that's the sequel to Billie Jean.
I thought I'd bring that up.
Sorry,
regressive
bad.
Gene.
It's bad.
Regressive
it's bad.
Gene.
just a daughter that I had with a white girl. The kid's definitely my son.
Except for Blanket, who's definitely Arya Stark.
Rest in peace, Michael. All right. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get to my buddy and get some serious news here, people. Come on.
All right, well, it is March Day today, and it's going to be affecting parts of Johannesburg and Cape Town. It's a march against state capture, which will see thousands of people take to the streets of the Johannesburg city center, and then also they will be heading to Parliament in Cape Town. The march will form part of a nationwide COSATU-led strike. It is also supported by the ANC in Gauteng, as well as the SACP. Now, police say that plans are in place to ensure the protests are peaceful, and they have urged those taking part to respect the law. And then they've also urged those of you who are going to be stuck in the march traffic to just deal with it.
Oh, no.
I mean, what else are you going to do when thousands of people
are marching?
So
where do we go to avoid this?
So they're going to be starting the march at COSATU's headquarters, their offices in Bramfontein, before heading to the city of Johannesburg to hand over a memorandum. So it's very much like a Joburg CBD kind of congestion.
All right. Well, I know what to avoid. Thank you. See, Mubs, this is the kind of stuff that people don't understand how much public service you do in your news. You're not just helping us to know what's going on, but you're helping us to know what to avoid. Remember when all those white people protested in, what was it, February?
Did you have to say the white people?
Well, you know what I mean.
Zuma must this, go.
Yeah, Zuma must go. Those ones. So you remember that? That was annoying.
That didn't impact you in traffic, though, did
Free
it?
Free lattes.
Not at all.
Honk if you love lattes. Honk if you hate Zuma.
And then you are in Cape Town.
Make sure you have water.
They are going to march from
Kaisersgracht.
Thank you. Beginning at 11.
Sorry, no, I didn't say it properly. I was just clearing my throat.
Oh, my bad. Well, that's where they're going to start the march, at around 11:30, and then they're going to move towards Parliament. So, yeah.
Nice. All right, well, good for them. I mean, you know what? At least the unions are finally doing something.
Speaking of doing something, Outa have won an urgent interim interdict against the Bank of Baroda, which means that they're now going to freeze 1.75 billion rand of the trust fund accounts of the Gupta-owned Optimum and Kwamfontein coal mines.
Good.
Outa had feared that the money meant for mine rehabilitation would not be used for the environment, but rather be used to pay back loans and other nefarious activities. And so they very quickly submitted an urgent court interdict, which they have now won. And according to their chief operating officer, Ben Turan, he says that, look, the fight is far from over. They want to ensure that the Gupta family and those responsible for state capture are held accountable. Pending the final outcome of the interdict, they are also going to pursue those individuals and hold them accountable for their misconduct.
In my wildest dreams, what I imagine is like, you know, those old fox hunts they used to have with the guys on horseback and the dogs. And the dogs would chase the rabbit through the fields and over fences and under rivers.
That's a rabbit hunt.
Right. But let's say a fox hunt, rabbit hunt, whatever.
Okay.
And you would then have all these people chasing them with dogs going, ar, 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 and seeking the scent of the fox, and then the people on the horses with their guns. That's what I'd like to see with the Guptas running and all of us just hunting them.
Oh,
Would that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, you know, where they live in Saxon World, you can spill over into the Zoo Lake Park, you know. It's a real good start. Maybe open around the zoo.
It works a similar way, though. Like, I always thought the trouble of a fox hunt didn't seem worth it when you can just put a bin out at night with a trap in it, and the fox will come to you. Similarly, you could just put a pile of money with a sign saying, not yours, in your garden, and then wait there, and the grifters will arrive.
Not yours.
Or you can just have like a new MP with a sign saying ready for sale and they'll just swarm around it.
So actually there's a lucrative industry, I think, in MP manufacturing, manufacturing quality MPs for purchase.
Alright, what else, Mums?
Get those grooming camps that the Eastern Europeans have for prostitutes. You get the same for MPs. Ooh. Yeah.
Well, once again, our intelligence services are embroiled in some other kind of controversy. Apparently, they're involved in dirty tricks and criminal activity. Oh, you don't say.
What?
New evidence.
The brilliant David Mahlobo.
New evidence of this has come to light against the backdrop of the presidential succession race in the ANC. One of the contenders, the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, he has been smeared in an apparent covert operation. And it seems that those responsible had access to intelligence resources. Mm-hmm. And then in another recent case, the Minister of Police, Phile Mbalula, was also targeted in an undercover plot.
Huh.
Yeah.
Ah, really?
Now, since 1994, the intelligence services have been embroiled in many scandals. But because they operate secretly and with minimal oversight, South Africans will probably never know exactly what they have been up to. What is known, though, from revelations, leaks, and investigations over the past 20 years, is that our intelligence services have not been adequately transformed since transition to democracy. The services have more in common with their apartheid-era predecessors than with the principles of the country's democratic constitution. Apparently, they continue to break all sorts of laws, and like they get up to a whole lot of nefarious activities.
You know that they spy on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
In the guise of buskers.
Well, they're not even embarrassed about it. They go in, they check your phone records, they can read your messages. I don't know about WhatsApp now that they've got that end-to-end encryption thing going. But you never know. I mean, they're mostly incompetent.
They tap people's phones, listen in on their conversations.
They're mostly incompetent. But if you're in politics in South Africa right now, you could pretty much guarantee that they're listening into your phone calls. It's a bunch of spooks. They're out near the Bronkhorstspruit. Not Bronkhorstspruit. There's a dam, Rietfontein. Near Irene in Pretoria, they've got this massive campus where it's just satellite dishes and offices and high security. NIA, National Intelligence Agency. And there's just people there whose job it is daily to spy on politicians, to gather information for the president and the state apparatus. It's revolting. I mean, it's almost like you were talking about the KGB earlier. Than Vladimir Putin. That's our KGB. It's a little bit of a worry. You got to think about these things.
I'm pretty sure just about every country has one of those.
They need to.
Sure.
They need to exercise control.
Sure. By the way, here's good news. Okay. Something really, really interesting. Freedom is spreading, ladies and gentlemen, across the world. It seems that freedom is becoming more and more of an accessible thing to average people. In Saudi Arabia, just today, they announced that women are allowed to drive.
Oh, yes.
Big news. Big news. Come on, what next? Can I ask you wear clothes?
This are outrageous. We are going to get cut off in traffic. They will be doing their makeups in mirrors all of the time.
Okay, but have they specified which times and which days they're allowed to do these things?
Well, they're only going to...
And which roads they can drive on.
They're only going to implement this as of June next year, apparently.
Oh.
So they have...
June next year.
Still a while to wait.
They basically forget they said yes.
But look, these women need to go to driving school. Exactly. They need to get their learners. They need to get their license. So it makes sense that it will...
They wouldn't have had they wouldn't have any reason or ability to learn how to drive.
No, none.
You can't be like, cool guys, go ahead.
No.
What if they say this and then they like don't provide any driving instructors or they don't approve their licenses? There's probably some sort of grey area.
Of course there'll be a grey area. And their father has to be in the back seats and if the sun's at a certain angle, you can't do this.
You won't be allowed to drive by yourself.
Oh, shut up. You're also cynical.
There'll
How
have
about
to be a man with you.
It is
you
can't drive if it's above 20 degrees Celsius.
You have... There'll be the speed limit and then there'll be the women's speed limit.
You can't drive it any
Or the
day.
Women's lane.
Yes, women's lane.
Women's lane.
So in other words, it's going to be men can drive at 40 kilometers an hour, mm-hmm. women at 20.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. The women's lane as well, definitely.
Do you know that a woman's testimony in Saudi Arabia counts for half of a man's? So
yeah.
If Mabale and Amanda both witnessed me stabbing Ben,
That's
only together would they have the same amount of say as if Sia came in and said, I didn't see, Gareth definitely didn't.
Yeah.
So, in other words, if Mabali was in the room when I stabbed Ben and Sia was in the room when I stabbed Ben and Sia said he definitely didn't, they would disregard Mabali's testimony. She's only half of a man.
Null and void.
I like the way Ben still gets stabbed in all scenarios with this
it's
analogy.
What a great country Saudi Arabia
Ben's
is.
Getting stabbed. We move straight to the court case.
This is a song of celebration in Saudi Arabia,
absolutely.
By the way. Everyone's celebrating.
Concerns me that you find this so funny, GC.
It's a song of celebration.
I was in one of those 24-hour Woolworths last night, just trying to pick up some drastically overpriced last-minute groceries. And I was walking to, like, because it's small and then they've got that little, like, I don't know what you call it, the queue, like, channels you through a little, in a little pathway. And the dude in front of me, this guy, must have been, like, late 50s, early 60s, just with that, like, zero fucks to give vibe. And he just farted.
Oh,
he was standing in front of me. He was casually ambling to pay. It was like the next, you know, I was going to go after him. It was just me and him. And he was walking and he was like, and he didn't look around or look awkward or anything. He just didn't break stride. He was like, hey, cool, yeah, and a pack of menthols. Like, cool, yeah. I'm just like,
didn't care.
No, dude, he just flatched like it was no thing.
Old people sometimes.
That's so revolting.
He wasn't that old. He wasn't like old enough that he couldn't clench one.
No, yeah, it's this thing of some people when they get older, they just do not care.
And you knew I was there as well because we were both like kind of meandering. I didn't besneak him from after. We kind of meandered for a while in that line.
Well, that's, you know what? I hope, Gord, for your sake, that one day you get to return the favor to his son.
Yeah, I don't know. So
when
much.
You're in that queue,
I'm gonna be all old, and I'm gonna be like, I can see the genetic resemblance between you, young man, and the man that once flatched wronged me in a engine.
Flatched wronged me.
But it just goes also the same thing. Like, okay, so it's not illegal to fart in a public place, and it's like, I know GC's got an issue with people blowing their nose elaborately in restaurants.
Yeah.
So it's the same with people who like sit in an office or a restaurant or an airport lounge or whatever and just vape. It's like, dude, not banned. It's like neither is playing with your feet, but you don't just, I don't want to know about it.
But I also just find general cigarette smoking. People stand there and they're smoking, okay, which firstly, it just means they're making a bad life choice, but they think that the smoke, the smell is totally okay. It's no different to farting. But if you sat next to a smoker, and you're like, oh, that's just such a tough day. And you let the biggest fart out. And you go, oh, that's better. That smoker will look at you and go, oh, that's revolting.
Hmm.
Meanwhile,
you have to breathe in their secondhand smoke just as much as a fart.
I wonder whether, like, regular fart intake is cancerous.
Listen, I heard a horrifying statistic the other day. Apparently, you fart between 2 and 5 liters of farts every day.
Every day.
See, when you use the word liters, that's when it becomes disgusting.
Every day.
When you make a fart a liquid, that's when you want to actually vomit and stop being a human.
No, the show is descending. I fear it's my fault for telling the story of last night.
No, guys.
Although it started with the farty song.
2 to 5 liters. apparently, per day. I saw someone get into their car the other day. You know, you can see in someone's face. I saw someone get into their car. It was in a parking lot where we were all parked. I think it was at the gym. So everybody's parked. And you can see this. It was kind of slight. She wasn't a big girl. She was thin. But she got into the car, and you could just tell that as soon as that door closed, she let one rip that she'd been holding in for an hour or two.
I love the implication.
And she went... You can see the relief on her face.
I love the implication that, like, you need. I just need to quickly quantify the fact that this was not a fat person. Like, fat people, I know that would not be surprising.
No, because after.
But she was thin.
She was so small that you can't imagine that the fart could have been as voluminous as it seemed to have been, because her facial expression indicated near orgasmic pleasure lasting for at least, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds. That's a long time for a fart for someone of such size.
What does near orgasmic pleasure actually look like? I've heard stories.
She was contorting her face as if in utter joy and ecstasy.
Rapture.
It looks like how porn stars fake it.
I've seen that.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's at least 3 liters.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're a dichotomy, dude, because you're like, something historical.
Who are you talking about, me?
You, yeah, something historical will come up and you'll like, you know, then go into the definition of lucre. And then you talk about like, oh, well, this is why this nation is this way. Because in the 1600s, the Vikings came and whatever, invented the light bulb. And then farting comes up and you just delight in 1,000 pre-prepared fart sound effects.
Well, you know when Sir Francis Drake, when he went off to explore the New World, he arrived back in England for the first time after that, and he discovered, Jesus, Ben, what's going on there? He discovered tobacco, and he brought some back for Queen Elizabeth the First, but he had an embarrassing situation where he bowed down before Queen Elizabeth the First. Before he left on the voyage, and so he'd farted by mistake in front of the Queen, and everyone in the court thought this is hilarious. So he went on this long voyage where he thought, okay, by now they must have forgotten about that incident, and he came back with tobacco and all kinds of lucre from the New World.
That's
all right?
The word of the day.
And all this lucre from the New World, and he laid it out before the Queen, and she walked into the court, and she said, oh, wow, look at all of this. Oh, Sir Francis, she said, I had quite forgot the fart.
But just prove my point, and you just bust out a historical anecdote about farting in history.
See, historical.
Have you read Historical Farts, volumes 1 and 2?
Excuse me?
That's Gareth, it's weird. Like, he's so tickled pink by the farting.
All right, I want to talk to Yadav Singh here for a minute. He's from Sticky Waffles. Now, he's a young entrepreneur. He's decided he's not going to let all the obstacles of life get in the way of him achieving success. He's 28 years old. He founded a business in Grosvenor Crossing, and it's a new waffle and coffee shop, which is quickly making local news on social media. So he did all of this himself, Mubs. He raised the capital, created the concept, began his own takeaway dessert business, and it's only just begun. He's from Verulam in KZN, and he scraped through matric, like on the bones of his backside, studied graphic design at the University of Johannesburg, and decided, hell, I'm not going to let circumstances dictate that I'm successful or not. He's here with us this morning.
It's that attitude thing we were talking about earlier with Sid by Sia.
Exactly right. Sia was 100% right. And here he is. Look at you. You make waffles and you're not even big.
Yeah.
How's it, guys?
How does that work?
How
That's
are you,
not
man?
Fair.
Good, and you?
Nice to see you, Dev. So did I get the biog mostly right? You were almost like a disaster?
Yeah, for the most part. So I don't know what's changed from that.
So Sticky Waffle, huh?
Yeah, so it's a... what we think is a dessert takeaway place in Grosvenor Crossing. We do amazing waffles. They're light, fluffy. We've got some for the team.
Wow, that's such bad news for a breakfast, but I can't help myself. Look at this.
You know,
guys, just look at this.
You see,
shut the
like,
front door.
The
second, Nutella and
the
marshmallow.
Second that Ben opened that box, this
so
aroma
there's Nutella, there's
just
marshmallows,
took over.
There's almond flakes. There's
Dude, waffles have got to be one of the most amazingly cool things that you could possibly have, eat, and make. What a cool business. Now, you identified a gap in the market because there isn't a place that just sells waffles, right?
And for that matter, if you're looking at waffles, and I mean the waffle game, if you're talking about the waffle game, there's sort of, if you want a waffle in Johannesburg, yeah. You go to Wimpy, you go to Milky Lane, you go to Spur, you go to Rockamamas. And then in Rosebank, they
don't help all your competition. All you're doing is listing the competition. Let me help you with this marketing thing. You don't mention them. You talk about only your business. But this is cool because it's you and that you just do coffee and waffles.
Yeah. So literally all we do is coffee and waffles. We do savory waffles, which is not your standard sort of waffle with like a few sort of frozen vegetables on the top.
Yeah, what do you put in those?
So we cut the waffle in half, we put some cheese, herbs, or whatever fillings you enjoy, close that up, and we toast that. It becomes a really nice, delicious, melted cheese.
Tell me bacon toast. Makes it on Jesus. There somewhere.
Very soon, my buddy.
Yeah, okay. So now we're talking.
Here's one with peanut butter and Smarties.
Oh, jeez, like.
Gosh. I'm just.
I mean, I wish the people could see that. I just gained we'll 4 kilograms watching you guys open those boxes.
We'll put the pictures up on Instagram, the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram. Look at this one. This is very nice. What do you got here? We've got almond and cinnamon.
You've got joy.
God, that's nice.
You've got happiness.
Yeah, there's
moments
joy.
Of peace.
Yeah, there's
liberation
joy.
From your childhood suffering. Mm. It's all in that box. The office where I'm working at the moment, you did some sort of special. It was last week, like they all went en masse and got like some promotional deal, and everyone came back eating food that I'm too fat to eat, and they were like so much of happy.
Was it on a Friday? So we've got a standard breakfast special, which is every day, which is from 6:30 to 10, yeah. Which is $5 breakfast. So basically you buy a hot drink.
Wow.
You buy a hot drink and you get a full waffle for $5.
Oh man, this is
what?
Good. Now, Dev, this is amazing. First of all, how did you raise the capital to, you know, to rent in a shopping mall is not cheap.
No.
Let alone the ingredients you need for the waffles, let alone the marketing you need around all that stuff. That's why I thought it would be nice to get you in here, because I love helping out entrepreneurs who defy the odds and decide to start a business in this economy.
Sure.
Where there's no spending money
no.
lying around. And you went ahead and did this. How did you even start?
So, I mean, in terms of the capital itself, it took me a while. So I basically, after my first year of work, after I finished varsity, just finished, mm-hmm. started working, hated it after 9 months. I left to start a sort of coffee store. At the time, Mabuning didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Rosebank was still pretty cool. There was no sort of coffee stores there. And we were looking to start something there. So I had like a few rand. Mm. In my bank account, and I thought that was enough to start a business. So I left work and I tried to start a coffee store. That's where I got really ill.
You have bipolar.
Yeah. So I've got bipolar and mitral valve prolapse. Mitral valve prolapse is not a...
That's a heart condition.
It's a heart condition. It's not life-threatening, but if it's undiagnosed... you know, there can be side effects. I had a stroke when I was 21.
You're basically a disaster. I mean, you scraped through matric, you scraped through varsity.
Almost you've died. Got this,
yeah, I mean, dude, jeez. And then your mother did die, and you had to get through that as well.
Yeah, and so after the first time, after basically I put, you know, I was young and stupid, didn't have medical aid.
Sure.
So basically whatever little money that I did have had to pay for X-ray, what are those things, MRIs, CAT scan, whatever it is.
So forget the business.
So then I obviously, once I got on my way, felt a little bit better, started working again, balls to pay. And from there, you know, a business, not necessarily this business, but I always wanted to do something for myself because I felt like, you know, working for people, I don't know, they value experience over anything else.
Mm. And how you meant to get that experience.
And know? Also, like, you know, because somebody has worked for 10 years, their opinion sort of, it counts for more than anybody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just wanted to do something on my own. And so I literally spent a hell of a lot of time just at home watching SABC, not going anywhere.
What a horrible thing for anyone to have to endure.
not doing literally anything, going out, saving whatever cash I possibly had. Choosing to drink water at places rather than even, you know, a cold drink. And basically that's where all the Capital Comedy.
Saved and saved and saved.
Saved and saved and saved. When I wasn't working, I bought secondhand chairs, then refurbished them, sold them.
Wow.
And
any way you could make money, you were doing.
Any way I could make money.
Dude, this is incredible. You make me so guilty because of what you've been through that I feel like I need to eat 23 waffles a day for the next 6 months.
Just so that we could pay rent.
Just so you could pay the rent. How's it going, though?
Look, it was slow to start off. We have been in the Sandton Chronicle last week, which helped a little bit. At least the old people now know.
Yeah, because they're the ones who read those things.
They're the ones who will come in for the breakfast.
Old people, they'll spend hours there.
They will, but they'll only buy like one waffle.
Yeah, then you need to kick them out. You need to put a time limit on those tables.
You're on point with that social media vibe, though, as far as I can tell. Because the hip millennials at the agency where I'm at the moment were like, they knew.
So,
and I don't think it's because they got the Sandton Chronicle.
So that we get that a lot. We're like, you guys don't advertise anywhere. And then we're like, oh, how did you know? Oh, it's on social media. It's like, well, you know.
It's the main place to advertise.
That's what we use.
All right. So just tell me, why waffles? What's your attachment to these? You just love them?
Sandwiches and waffles are my two favorite things, really.
Are you going to expand into sandwiches eventually?
So a waffle, what we call our loaded waffle lunchbox, is basically a waffle sandwich. That's the one with the cheese toast up, and that gets crispy on the outside, cheese on the inside, herbs.
I
got to go weigh myself now because my weekly diet weigh-in day, like, geez. I'm not going to have a waffle until like 2019.
Let's all eat in front of Gordon screw up his morning.
Fine. I brought this upon myself by being such a fat bastard, but wow, I could jaw a waffle right now. I could comfort eat to make you feel better about the hard shit in your life.
Dude, this is excellent. Good luck to you. I hope you end up with people lining up outside your shop for these waffles.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hope it goes really well, man. I love this. I love to see people who just don't give a shit about all the horrible stuff that happened to them, and they just get on with it. They make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the achievement was actually doing it. So after the first thing that went...
When did you open?
We opened on the 1st of September, so it's literally just been less than a month.
And for real, dude, like five or six of the younger dudes from work like made this joint mission to go and get lunch last week, and they came back and they spoke about it for the rest of the day. They were stoked, properly. Yeah.
This is how you become a thing.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, and I mean, as I said, the achievement for me was actually doing it. Out of, you know, literally the fear, like, was so strong, I felt like I needed to poo the whole day. For a week.
Well, listen, man, good luck to you. Well done.
Great. Thanks so
this
much.
This is really, really good. And you know what? If you want to go along, it's in the Grosvenor Crossing Center, and you can go and get a sticky waffle. They've got savory ones. They've got sweet ones. They got ones like Ben picked up here with the marshmallows on it.
What is your? I mean, you're presumably posting pictures of this. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. Honestly, they look so good, it's killing me.
Sure.
You got a social media vibes where people can go look at how cool they look.
Sure. So we at Sticky Waffle ZA. We've got a Facebook page and Instagram. Okay.
Sticky Waffle ZA.
Yeah. At Sticky Waffle ZA.
Gordis just tweeted. # waffles, free waffles in the studio. Jesus, take the wheel. All right, listen, everybody, we're out of here. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Jason Werbeloff, who is our guest for this morning. This is a fascinating conversation. Okay, I'm going to set this up for you by saying this is not easy listening. This is not like having, you know, some adult contemporary music playing in the background while you're doing other stuff. If you're going to listen to this, you need to listen to this. It's about why and how groups don't exist. We don't belong to groups. If you ever thought you belonged to a group, you're wrong. There's no group that wants you. You are on your own.
Oh.
It's an individual pursuit, this life. And Jason goes into a very philosophical, highly intellectual discussion about whether or not you belong. So if you're the kind of person who really feels that you need to belong, this is probably not going to appeal to you at all. Don't bother to listen. If you're someone who wants to push the parameters of your own identification in society, your own sense of who and where and why and what you are, identity politics, all that stuff, if you care about that, you need to listen to this. If you don't, Please don't listen. It's going to frustrate you and irritate you. This is not a pedestrian podcast. This is not for everybody. All right?
I'm excited.
Wow.
Sold it there, Gareth.
All right. Here's what you need to know in the undies. Thank you very much to Mabali. Thank you very much to Sia. Thank you to Gord. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to our guests. And go along to Sticky Waffle. Check them out. They deserve your support. Here's what you need to know this morning. COSATU are preparing for a huge march against President Zuma and state capture, taking place mostly around the Joburg CBD. Some members are even marching in Cape Town. Helen Zille is okay with this in theory, but insists that this activity must be on day 3 of their shower cycles, because marching is sweaty work and mustn't lead to an extra shower for the week. In other news, Khulobuse Zuma is bankrupt. Many people don't believe this, but just yesterday he was seen ordering only 2 buckets at KFC, confirming that he has indeed he has indeed had some very tough financial times. Ben Stokes has been arrested after apparently causing bodily harm. The details are still sketchy, but apparently the English cricketer got into a kerfuffle with Prince Harry over who was the country's most loved ginger. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.